I'm Bea.
And I'm Sam.
And we're two best friends who like to talk shit about Smut, Wingspan,
and sometimes books. Join us every week for a new episode.
Which is really exciting. I did not think we'd ever get here, but I did wonder what would be the book that we did it for, yeah. You know? And it's Fourth Wing.
Yeah, Fourth Wing. Obviously you'd already read it.
Mm-hmm. I have, yeah.
A while ago.
Yes, when it first came out, yeah.
Yeah, so this was your second read through mm-hmm. this week. Mm-hmm. This was my first ever read of yes. Fourth Wing.
Yeah.
You're not the biggest fan?
Yeah, I mean, I think if I'd have done this episode and not have reread it, I think what I'm gonna say would probably have been a little bit more negative.
Mm-hmm.
Having reread it, I actually kind of remembered a lot of things that I liked about this.
Yeah.
But I think I fell victim to, and I guess it kind of starts off like when I first read it, because I read it when it came out. I remember seeing everybody all over BookTok saying, new book, gotta read it, have to read it. This Fourth Wing, everyone was like, it's amazing, it's da-da-da. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, like, sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I did the exact same thing that when you texted me this week and you said, I think you actually said it about Iron Flame, not Fourth Wing. Why the fuck is it so expensive as an Amazon book? £11 for a KDP version, which is scandalous. We've never paid that much for it. And I want to say that Fourth Wing was even like, £13 to £14 when it first came out, and I just was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's that much money. Yeah. But I just paid it because I was like, right, people are saying it's that good. I was like, okay, it got a lot of hype when I went to read it, and I think that's where a lot of my disappointments were.
Yeah,
because I was so like, everyone was saying like, this is good as ACOTAR, mm-hmm. this is ACOTAR level, like, you've got to read this if you love ACOTAR, like, it's a 5-star, and I was like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, no spoilers, but I don't think that is the case.
Yeah. I think we fell victim to that with House of Flame and Shadow.
We 100%,
like,
yes.
The hype around Instagram and BookTok, and like, everyone was just like waiting on tenterhooks for it. And then it sort of fell short. Yeah. And like, was that a fault of the book or was it a fault of the hype?
100%.
I'm unsure.
Yeah.
Obviously, I enjoyed Fourth Wing, but I've read it way after the hype has died down, so maybe I'm seeing it in a different light, maybe, I don't know. Spoiler warnings for
the whole of Fourth Wing.
Yeah. Like,
but not Iron Flame yet, because you've not read it. Yeah. We'll do that as a separate episode for Iron Flame.
Just spoiler warnings for all of Fourth Wing. Obviously, like, if you're listening to this podcast, you've read Fourth Wing, so I'm not going to go through, like,
it's
about.
Chapter one.
Yeah, but obviously, we're in Basgiaeth War College.
Just so interesting that you say it like that, because I say Basgiaeth.
So, I did a mixture of reading the book and listening to audiobooks.
Okay,
My pronunciations are from the audiobook. So, she says Basgiaeth War College.
There's a, again, I should have got her handle. There's a very popular TikToker who actually who I think is Irish, because a lot of the language that Rebecca Yarros uses is Irish, Celtic. I think a lot of it, she has told people, this is how you say it. And then this TikTok is like, that's not how you say it.
Okay.
But Basgiaeth.
Yeah.
So
we're in Basgiaeth War College. Mm-hmm. There's four quadrants, the riders, the infantry, the scribes, the healers.
Yes.
And we're following Violet Sorengale, who is the general of the War College's daughter, the youngest child, who's trained all her life to be a scribe. Mm-hmm. And then her mother says, her father dies and her father was the scribe.
Yeah.
And her mother says, 6 months before conscription, no, you're going into the riders.
Yeah.
Like, obviously she's not trained.
Yeah.
They talk about her being frail.
Yeah.
So what is your take on her mother saying, you're not being a scribe, you're being a rider?
I think that it was, in the beginning, I just thought, oh, it's a very convenient plot point, you know, because would it, you wouldn't have this book if she was going to go be a scribe, would you? I know that when we, because we've tried not to talk about this too much this week, haven't we, to try and keep as much, but one of the things that you mentioned is that you truly believe that Violet's mother is the big bad evil.
Yeah.
And I can totally understand that. And I think definitely at that point of it, you're like, oh, is there something like bigger going on? Mm-hmm. Why has she done this? Why has she got such an ag about Violet not being a scribe and becoming a rider? And to be honest, when I look at it, I agree with you that, like, is she literally just trying to kill off one of her kids? Because she genuinely believes that Violet's just going to get killed.
Yeah. Like, she knows she's not strong.
Yeah.
Like, is it a pride thing of, like, well, all Songales
and
are riders.
And she kind of alludes to that, doesn't she? That's so, what she tells Mira and her sister in the beginning.
So off you go. Yeah. But, I'm just like, what mother? And, like, she talks about how, like, the genuine grief over Brennan dying.
Yeah.
Like, she talks about her mother's grief. Like, and that seems genuine.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, so if you grieved your son that hard, why are you now sending your daughter to the same
fate? Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Like, really? But okay. But anyway, she makes it across the parapet and she is conscripted as a rider, as a first year rider.
Yeah, and the parapet, again, I just wanted to stop there because I wanted to discuss how you envisaged it. When I first read this, I couldn't wrap my head around what it was. I couldn't, like, I'm like, is it a tightrope? Is it a bridge? But if it's a bridge, like, it can't be that bad. And I,
like, a gymnastic beam, almost like a stone, like, very thin beam in my head, I suppose.
And I think, so again, this is, like, kind of not trying to jump ahead, but one of the big things that I think I felt the first time, and I definitely felt it the second time, is Rebecca Yarros isn't the best world builder.
No.
I don't think the world building in this is bad.
Yeah.
But I don't, because, so I get a bit of context for this, and I don't know if you know this, but Rebecca Yarros is not a fantasy writer.
Okay.
So she is traditionally, I think she writes, because she's from a military family. Her husband's in the US Army. That's, like, her life. I think she's moved around a lot and that's the life that she lives. So a lot of her writing, or almost all of her writing, I think up until this date, are all, like, military books and, like, military romances.
Yeah.
So this is her first ever dip into the fantasy romance world, which I think, great that she's done that, right? Like, yeah, anybody can do it. Like, nice, but I think that's what maybe the world building lacks, is that, like, she isn't a fantasy writer.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't want to sound, like, bitchy and be like, oh, she can't write fantasy, because she obviously writes a good book. But I think that's where a lot of these issues I had with, like, how I envisage the parapet is just because I think she's not that, like, kind of writer.
Yeah,
you know?
Because obviously, like, like, when I read it, I envisaged it as really, really, really thin, like, really small. But then later in the book, like, way, way later in the book, they talk about Zayden sitting on the parapet.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, it can't be that skinny, because if he's sitting on it, like, So, yeah, I do agree. It's she makes it hard to envisage something.
But then at other times, I feel like the way she builds things is actually really well done, you know? But the parapet, sorry, just that's because a lot, I've seen a lot of funny videos of people taking the piss out of the parapet and, like, how I envisaged it. And some people just see it as, like, someone did a really funny video and it was like, how I envisaged the parapet, and it's just the San Diego Bridge, which is really funny. So, yeah. So she crosses the parapet, makes it into into the inner part of Basketh, because she already lives in the Hall College.
Yeah, so she's in, like, the Riders
Quadrant. Riders
Quadrant
at Hall College, correct.
In the Rotunda, is that what they call it?
I think so.
So she makes friends with Rhiannon, she gives her one of her shoes.
Yeah.
I love that, because straight off the bat, I'm like, okay, she's girl.
Yeah,
and
looking out for the girls.
Yeah, she doesn't want to see somebody, like, fall to their death.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, get behind that. And then straight away when she crosses, we meet Dane
Atos.
Yes.
Her childhood friend, who she's not seen, because kind of one of the rules, I guess, of the Riders Quadrant is you don't get to, like, see your family.
When
you go there, you're in and you're in. I think maybe it's mentioned from second year on they can have, like, communication via letter missives.
Yeah.
But basically she's not been able to see or speak to him in over a year.
Yes.
And it's kind of heavily implied that I don't think necessarily her and Dane banged, but they definitely
love interest.
I think when I reread it, I picked up that maybe they had a bit of a thing.
I agree.
She definitely at this point has the hots for him.
Absolutely.
And so did I.
I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, like I can get behind this.
You're
like,
older in a dragon college, yes, yeah, please.
And like he's the squad leader, like
yeah. And yeah. I remember at the time when I was reading it, there's at one point he talks about, I can't remember the exact reason he's telling Violet this, but he's like, oh, there's somebody in the second year that you need to speak to. I know her really well. Her name's blah blah blah. She's got like, I can't remember, he describes her.
Amber.
Oh, is it Amber? And he says, like, I got to know her very well, and it's implied that he's blushing, and I'm like, Dane! Like,
yeah, but then obviously Amber ends up being the one that unlocks her door to let them in to kill her and gets executed. So I really liked Dane. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm on board with this. I'm like, oh, will they?
Hot.
And then he tries to get her to sneak out and move to the scribe quadrant.
From the get-go, starts putting up quite a lot of big red flags.
Yeah, and I'm like, don't tell her what to do.
And I'm proud to say, despite previous episodes in this book, I actually clocked on to those red flags.
Yeah.
From the get-go, I was like...
Yeah, I was a bit like, don't tell her what to do. Like, she's here, and like... Like, her mother's the general. Like, you're not going to go against her, are you? Let's be honest. And, like, she openly says, like, she will just hold me back here. She will keep bringing me back. Yeah. Like, she's not going to let me be a scribe.
Yeah.
And like, the further you get into the book, I'm like, is it because the scribes know more about the Venon and the Wyvern? Like, is that why she doesn't want her in the scribe quadrant?
Exactly. There's definitely ulterior motives going on, I think.
Yeah, like... Yeah, just unsure about her motives. But yeah, I didn't like then that he wanted her to go into the scribe quadrant to like try to move her.
Mm-hmm. And so two of the other kind of at this point, I guess, villain is the word, that we meet just as she's crossing the parapet is, first of all, we understand that there's been some kind of rebellion against the king. I think he is the king. There is a king, yes. Of, again, there's so much world building in this that names and regions are going to fall off my head. But whatever the part of the continent that is considered, so not Poromiel, which is seen as the enemy. Going to get your book out. Navarre and Poromiel is the other one, the other side with the Griffin Riders. Yeah. So it's kind of revealed that they, about 10 years ago, I think it was about roughly 10, maybe even less than that, actually. No, it was probably
six years ago.
That there was a rebellion, and up until like a couple of years ago, they effectively executed all the leaders of the rebellion, anyone who participated. But we find out that this one of the main characters, Zayden, who is a third year in the Riders Quadrant, is actually the son of the leader of the rebellion,
Fen Ryerson.
Zayden Ryerson is his son, and and what we understand is that they make an agreement that all like 106 or something, 107 children of the revolution leaders kind of were not executed like their parents were, but were put into Basquiat as a sort of punishment.
But they were only allowed to go into the Riders Quadrant.
Yes, so sort of like they either die and fine, or they make it, and they're now we're kind of making them our best weapons, effectively. Mm-hmm. And so we understand that Zayden Ryerson is the son of the leader, and is basically effectively Violet is told that he's gonna be her number one enemy in the Riders Quadrant because her mother oversaw the execution of his parents,
And his dad is the murderer of her brother, Brennan.
Yes,
yeah.
Very interesting.
Yes. And they all have rebellion relics which are like tattoos.
Effectively, yes.
So fucking hot.
Yeah. I mean, straight from the get-go, I was like... And I think that's maybe where I was... You love a shadow... I love a shadow daddy. We love a shadow daddy, right? We love our dark, tall, like, we love them. I think, though, for me, when I got his description, I did a little eye roll because I was just like... this just feels a little bit done.
Yeah, and also the people who are comparing him to Rhysand, whoever you are out there,
whoever you are, stop it.
No,
kill it now.
He is hot. Zayden is hot, and hot. I will agree with you. But he is not Rhysand.
No, Rhysand.
He is not the Knight Triumphant.
No.
And you can stop saying it now.
Immediately.
I'm done.
We won't have. I won't have like a 20-something-year-old, like, university student, effectively, who is a bit saucy and got a couple of tattoos, mm-hmm. being compared to a 500-year-old fey warrior high, like, I won't have it, a high lord, no. So, first of all, don't come here if you're looking for some recent Zayden comparisons, because you won't be getting it. And I'm glad you felt that way, because, again, when I was, like, reading this book, that's what I've been told. Oh, my gosh, the love interest is Reese. It's a Reese. You're going to love it. Like, he's Reese. And I was like, he's hot, right? Like, I wouldn't have read the whole bloody book if I didn't think that. But, like, stop. Yeah. Because it almost does Zayden a disservice, because there's actually some things that I think are really unique about Zayden.
Yes.
Do I think he's the most thought-through, developed character? Even if I were to take Reese and in book one compared to Zayden, no. I think there's a lot... The characters, I don't think, go quite as deep in this as they do in ACTAR. Mm-hmm. However, there's actually some things about Zayden that I really like, that I think you're almost doing him a disservice by saying, oh, he's a Reese.
Yeah.
Because he isn't this, like, he's cocky and arrogant, but not in a Reese way. He's not like, let's show up to the party and swoon everyone. Because that's Reese and that's Dorian.
Yeah.
But that isn't Zayden. No. He's very, like, prickly and, like, couldn't give a fuck about what you think, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree.
But obviously, we meet Zayden. She's told that he's going to be her worst enemy. He needs to watch out, going to try and kill her. Probably push off the parapet at that point.
Yeah.
And then, actually, plot twist, there's some bloody bloke called Jack Barlow, who is not one of the rebellion? No, he's not, is he?
He's just a little twat.
He's a little twat. Just decides, because of her name, she's like General Sorengale's, because obviously all the children, interestingly, have the mother's surname, not whatever her father's surname was. Mm-hmm. So they all know that her mum is like the principal of the college, actually. So they just want to kill her.
Yeah, she's got a target on her back, basically, 100%. From her mother's name.
And so Jack Barlow, this guy, in reality, is just trying to kill her the whole time she's crossing the parapet. Luckily,
like, literally fucking chasing her across it, basically.
And does kill somebody else on his way.
Yeah, throws them off. I was like, what a little bastard.
On his way to go get her. So, and I think for me, I don't know, we could talk about it now, I guess. Talk about whenever, we're not trying to do it too chronologically. For me, that was one of the biggest issues I had from the get-go, was because I love an enemies to lovers, right? We all love an enemies to lovers, but for me, having that, is it Zayden, is it Jack Barlow, that's where straight off the bat I was like, well, which is it? I kind of needed it to be one or the other. And obviously, like, you know, you wouldn't be listening to this if you weren't looking for spoilers, but you know, Zayden turns out to be her love interest in it. Fine. But it was too... Because for me, from the get-go, I couldn't ever find Zayden that threatening.
Yeah.
Because I knew that he was going to be the love interest and Jack Barlow was going to be the... You know what I mean? Like, no, she ended up banging Jack Barlow in the end. I would have been like, wow! Did not fucking see that coming. You just tamling the fuck out of me. You're resounding the fuck out of me. But for me, it was like... plot reasons, again, having read Iron Flame, I would probably say don't even necessarily think it was relevant. But I just think, like, Zayden needed to be Jack Barlow. Does that make sense? Like, it needed to be one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even mind that, like, Zayden, like, can say, like, he's going to want to kill you. But the fact the whole way through she's like, Zayden Ryerson's going to kill me. I'm like, no, he's not.
Yeah,
he's not going to kill you.
Shut up, Viola.
He's just going to fucking bang you with his massive dick. To be honest, kill you with his huge cock.
So part of then when they go through and they're in the first years is that they do hand-to-hand combat challenges.
Yes.
And Violet's way of getting through all these hand-to-hand combat challenges are finding out their weaknesses.
Wonderful.
And fucking poisoning most of her enemies. And I just find that fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
That she's, like, sneaking out to, like, find certain fruits.
Wonderful.
And, like, and there's
poison in her daggers, all these things.
And, like,
has,
like, volunteered for breakfast duty so she can poison the people.
Genius.
Oh my god, it's so fucking funny. I love that about her. Like, she knows she's not strong enough to beat them, so she's like, right, I'm gonna have to, like, use my cunning wit to beat them. And I love that.
It gives
it
big
so
alien energy.
It does.
And I again, like, when I first started reading about her type of character, she wasn't gonna be this super strong warrior. I really like that about her. She's decent at hand-to-hand combat, but she's not the best. Ultimately, if you hit a blow, you're gonna break her.
Yeah, she's not. But do we ever find out why?
No, we don't. But I think, again, I'm gonna quote me if I'm wrong, I believe that a lot of it comes from Rebecca Yarros' personal experience with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Okay.
If I'm saying that correctly. Which is like, you kind of have like overextended joints. You know, the whole thing about her knees popping out of place.
Yeah, and yeah.
Like, I think it's like, I don't think she explicitly says it because it's a fantasy world, but it's like really heavily implied that like, that's kind
of
like,
they sort of like,
autoimmune sort
and they sort of say like brittle Bolton's basically,
effectively. So I get why she doesn't explicitly put a name to it, because it's fantasy, what do you call it, like, you know. But I actually really like that about Violet. I know I saw a lot of videos of people who have very similar have a very similar, you know, type of experience and similar type of autoimmune diseases, where they've all said, oh, I really like that because it feels like a nice bit of representation. So no, like, we don't ever get like a name stamp on it as to why that's the case.
Okay.
But I kind of like that about her. And from the get-go, I was like, oh, this is not maybe so relatable to me, but like, just makes her like a relatable character. Yeah. I agree with you. I love that she is one of those characters that uses her wit.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm sure maybe it's Mira says it to her right at the beginning, like, you're a scribe at heart.
Yeah.
You're only going to get through this if you think like a scribe. And I love that about her, because she does, you know.
Yeah. No.
One of the other things we could probably just talk about really quickly, I guess more of a format thing, is the excerpt at the top of the chapter.
Yeah, really interesting.
Really interesting. So the whole book is effectively told from these excerpts as if it's one of her friends from the Scribes Quadrant. Yes. Effectively writing this story years and years and years after the fact. And
To like write history.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Love that. Really interesting. The top of every chapter you get like an excerpt from like a different historical text. So some are like,
and some are even from like Brennan's book that he writes.
Like her brother's diary.
Like, I love that.
And some are like certain teachers, like, you know, textbooks on war.
Yeah,
like,
some are like missives between people. Mm-hmm. I really, really like that. Mm. I really like the format of this
really
book.
That I really love about it. So then, she's now, you know, I guess, in the Riders Quadrant. And the one thing I will say, which I still, even having reread it, I cannot fucking wrap my head around, is the way that the wings work. I don't understand it. Like, I get this four wings, right?
Yes.
And then within it, you have a wing leader for each.
Mm-hmm.
And Zayden is the fourth wing leader.
Yes.
And then underneath that, you have other people.
You have, so then you have the claw, the tail, and the flame. You have, like, sections.
Yeah.
And then they have section leaders. So you have leaders of each section.
So Dane is a section leader.
No.
See, this is... I can't get my fucking head
And then
around
within
it.
The sections, you have first, second, and third. So they're the second... So Violet is put into the second of the
tail
of the fourth wing. And Dane is the squad leader. So he's the...
A tail.
Of squad two within the tail.
So he's a fucking nobody. Is what we're saying. Because Dane is an absolute fucking no one. He's no big fourth wing leader, Daddy's Aiden, is he?
No, so he's got like two people. So
yeah.
Zayden isn't even the person above him, because you've got the...
But Zayden is like top dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Because but then above Dane is like the leader of the tail, and then above that is...
Someone else.
No, it is Zayden.
Oh, it's Zayden. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And
this does it not lay it out in the book?
It does. And I reread it a couple of times and it still doesn't sink into my brain.
Maybe it's Iron Flame. It shows the wings.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen it.
It's Iron Flame. It has them all listed out. It shows, like, the hierarchy.
I'm just too much of a visual person, and I just, even having rewrite it, I'm just like, I don't fucking understand this. I always assumed that Dane was, like, one down from Zayden.
No.
But he's an absolute fucking no one, so fuck Dane. As we come to learn, fuck Dane.
Big
fuck Dane.
So, jumping ahead a little bit. So she makes it up the gauntlet, and then...
Which is like it's like a big total wipeout.
Yeah, big obstacle course. Yeah.
Big red balls.
And goes through threshing. So threshing is when a dragon can decide if they want to bottom with you. So from what I gather, you walk with your squad through the field of dragons and like see what you think.
Yeah.
And then you can decide like, oh, that's the dragon I like.
It's like it's a small world for dragons, but you can't make eye contact because they'll fuck you up. Basically.
And like certain dragons you can only approach from the left, certain dragons you have to like show respect to. Yeah, it's all like a big
But am I right in saying that they're like, it's almost like they parade themselves through and it's the dragon's chance to decide who they want, not necessarily. So they're just like, they're just looking, not buying.
Yes.
And they're told, don't make eye contact. Yeah. You've just got to walk and let them pick you.
So they go through and they're told there's 101 dragons, something like that. And then, or 100 dragons that are willing to bond. Mm-hmm. And then they see this golden, very small dragon. Mm. And they're like, oh, it's 101 dragons. Mm. And then after they do this parading, when they're heading back to the field, she notices Jack Barlow and some of his little cronies go off after this golden dragon.
Mm.
And she's like, I can't have it. I can't. They're hunting her or it. So I don't think she knows it's a girl at that point. And she goes after them to try and stop them.
Is this... So am I right in saying that they have the little parade through the valley, let the dragons pick us, and then isn't the actual picking a separate, like, event? Because isn't she, like, in a woods and Zayden's there and they, like, kind of...
No, so this is the same thing.
Oh, it's all the same event.
So,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So they're supposed to walk through and head back and then the dragons can make their decisions.
Yeah.
But she sees Jack Barlow go
off,
runs after him because she's like, you're not going to kill...
You're going to hurt it.
Yeah. And obviously Zayden's watching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we meet Andana, the small golden dragon.
Yeah.
And she defends her. And then Ten turns up.
Big boy Ten.
I love him so fucking much. Mm-hmm. And I'll get into it in a minute.
Okay.
But, and then obviously he chooses her.
Yeah.
To be bonded with.
And to add that Ten, because there's mates within dragons.
Yes.
Is mated to Zayden's dragon,
Sigil. The audiobook said Sigil.
Sigil, okay. Which obviously he's been bonded to her for 3 years
because
he's in his final year. Mm-hmm. So, bit of a little interesting plot twist.
Yeah. She is now bonded to the dragon of Zayden's dragon's
mates.
So they're all sort of like
Zayden and her dragon are banging. And Violet are banging.
Yeah, incestuous
plot twist.
Yeah. So when a dragon is bonded to, you can speak mind to mind.
Yes.
So Tern talks into her mind, and she fucking shits herself, and then she realizes, and he says like, you've got to go and tell them.
Yeah.
Like, and they record it. So she's recording it. And you can only record it if you know their full name. So she gives Terrence's full name and they're recording it. And then Andana talks into her mind.
Yeah, I've got this bit.
And says her full name. So she's like looking around like, what the fuck? And then she says, Andana. And then all fucking hell breaks loose.
Because she's bonded to two dragons.
And everyone's like, it's not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, the thing I love about this book that just makes me laugh is like, the dragons have the final fucking say anyway.
Yeah, okay. So whatever we fucking want.
All the dragons fly off for a meeting.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
Yeah. We'll just have a little chat and you're gonna wait for us.
They're all stood in a fucking field. Yeah. They're all arguing and the dragons are like, right, we're off, we're gonna settle this. And they go and have a meeting about it anyway. And I just thought that was so fucking funny.
So funny.
That they come back and they're like, the bonding stand.
It's
like,
fine.
She's got two.
We'll allow it.
But Andana can't fly.
No, she's a baby.
Yeah.
Little baby. Yeah.
She can't keep up with them. So it's a bit of a... you feel like, oh, well, it's a bit of a nothing.
A 0.5, like, bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Bonus baby.
So, so you kind of just, like, almost, like, disregard her?
Yeah, to a point.
And then they have to start learning to fly and do manoeuvres, and Violet can't stay on.
And Tane is also, I think, described as being, like, the second biggest dragon to have ever existed. I think General Melgrin, who is the head of the whole army as a whole.
Yeah, his is bigger.
The bigger one.
Yeah.
But Tyn is a big boy and Violet is not, and also breaks very easily. Tyn's a big boy, and obviously the concern is, how the fuck is Violet going to ride? I mean, any dragon, let alone the second biggest dragon to have ever existed.
How's she going to ride fucking Zayden? Little alone fucking Tyn.
We find out though. So... I think then at some point, I think it's Zayden, if I'm right in saying, gets a saddle made.
Oh, that's well.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
But yeah, he does. Yeah. He builds a harness.
Harness.
But it also can harness Andana.
Andana! So she's
underneath.
Like a little baby underneath. I love it.
And that, when he does that, you're sort of like, oh, Zayden. Like, oh my God, so sweet.
Yeah. So she obviously struggles,
yeah,
but she kind of overcomes it. And then I think the next, again, I might be skipping ahead, but then the next sort of plot point is they get something called a signet power through their dragons,
yes,
which is effectively like a magical power,
yeah,
but it's a specific type of mm-hmm. magical power. It isn't always the same. Like it's no. not, it depends on the rider, not the dragon.
Yes.
But they only get it when they've bonded to a dragon. It takes some time.
Yeah, so, and Violet doesn't.
A long time to manifest.
And they think it's not going to manifest yeah. at all.
Yeah, because it takes a while.
And obviously Zayden's is Shadows.
Yes, shadow wielding. That's what he gets yeah. from Seagal.
Seagal, yeah.
And then I think the first time that it's sort of, again, implied, maybe we're going to have a guess as to what Violet's signet is going to be is, there's a scene where Tyrn and Seagal are getting it on.
Banging,
because they're mated dragons.
Yeah.
And she is a hornball,
yes.
Violet, because she's, like, it's that's talked about a lot, is that it's really hard to, like, shut off channeling Tyrn yeah. and the emotions, because they're mm-hmm. very connected. She's obviously fucking raging for it. Does she go looking for Zayden or does
no,
she just...
No, she's like, if I get outside, like, and I out in the outdoors, she's like trying to run from it, basically, and run straight into Zayden.
And who'd smoking a fucking split?
Yeah.
Just to be honest, I bang Zayden smoking a split
yeah,
outside.
Same.
But, yeah.
And fucking climbs him like a tree.
But they only kiss at that
yeah.
point. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but she does climb in like a tree.
And there's
this thunderstorm yeah. going on. Which to me, even when I read it the first yeah. time, I was like, I think this is
yeah.
what it's going to be.
And then, obviously, all we get is a kiss, and then they say it's a mistake, and you're like, okay, then.
Okay.
And then Amber unlocks her door and lets the cadets
yes.
into her room, and they're trying to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrn is too far away,
yeah.
And he can't get to her. Mm-hmm. Then Andana pops up and says, I'm going to use a power.
Yeah.
And stops time.
Yes.
And we're all like, what?
Did that just happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and Anna can stop time.
And I think even when I read this the first time, I kind of knew something had happened because she alludes to it, doesn't she? But because this whole book is from like first person, but also like present tense, the
yes.
way it's written, it's mm-hmm. not past tense.
Yeah.
So you are literally like
living
in Violet's
mm-hmm.
brain. She doesn't really know what's happened, so you don't really
mm-hmm.
know what's happened. So I kind of had an idea, like I know it's because Andana speaks to us, you're like, Andana
yeah.
says something, but it's not really confirmed that it was time control.
Yeah.
You just know something weird
yeah.
happened.
Yeah, like everything froze and,
yeah.
and she moved.
Yeah.
And then Zayden turns up and kills Maul.
And then, like, plot to a spoiler alert, they bang.
Yeah.
That's when they bang.
No.
Oh, is it not?
No.
Oh.
They don't bang until she gets her signet.
I thought that's when they bang
no.
for the first time.
So that happens. He comes, he kills them all, and he says, we're going for a little meeting with Tyrn, Seagal, and Andana.
Yeah.
That's when we find out that Andana's a hatchling, which are completely protected creatures.
Yeah, not supposed to be out of the veil
yeah.
when dragons are kept at
and
all.
And definitely not supposed to be bonded to
uh-uh.
anybody.
Uh-uh.
And it wipes her out. So
yeah.
using that power
she's
wipes her. And she sleeps for like
yeah.
days and days and days. During flight, they're doing like some sort of like course type thing. Or is it like part of the war games and they go get the egg?
Yeah.
Jack
war
Barlow.
Games. Yeah, I think it's
and
war
Jack
games.
Barlow tries to kill Liam.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when her signet
wields
manifests.
Lightning. Big blow-up.
Yeah.
yeah.
And she wields the lightning
yeah.
and kills Jack Barlow.
Kills him. Buries him in the fucking rubble like she should.
Yeah, fuck you, Jack Barlow, you little twat.
And you've mentioned him, so another character that's sort of brought in. Again, I'm trying to remember exactly why, but the character of
Liam. So he's Zayden's foster brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Zayden, after the attack in her bedroom where the cadets break in and
mm-hmm.
try and kill her, Liam's sort of like posted to her as like a shadow
protection.
Yeah,
because also effectively another like I guess like law technicality is if the dragon dies the rider dies, but if the rider dies the dragon can find another rider
if it wants to, but
yeah.
sometimes like the anguish is
they
too
don't.
Much yeah.
but they don't die
no
but if the dragon dies you're dead
yeah.
you're not living
tapped
after
it yeah
so a lot of, like, I guess the force proximity with Zayden and Violet is because they're dragons and mates. They have a mutual interest
yeah.
in keeping each other alive. So
mm-hmm.
that's one of the reasons why he obviously further down the line, we understand because he has the hots for her. But at the time, it's just seen as he really needs her to not die because it's sick, because Tyrion is Sagal's mate.
Yeah.
So that's why he posts Liam to her room.
So after she comes back and she's killed Jack Barlow, obviously she's throwing her guts up because she can't believe she's just killed somebody and she's feeling a lot of guilt. And she goes back to her room. And this is when we find out that Zayden can mind speak to her as well through the dragons.
Yes.
They've all got this bond.
Yeah.
And she can't figure out how to do it back at this point. But he goes to her room because he can feel her anguish and her guilt. And they end up banging. And she's wielding lightning as she's banging. There's a whole fucking thunderstorm going outside. Yeah. She's taking trees down.
Yeah.
She sets fire to her curtains.
Yeah.
They break her armoire. Like everything's...
Zayden has to use his shadows to try and like keep it under control because she just
blows the window
it.
Out.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
fan fucking test.
But then he also explodes like her target thing. He's losing his head with his shadows. But yeah, it's a really when I finished this, I was disappointed by the spice because I was expecting it to be a bit hotter. Mm-hmm. But actually, on the reread, I enjoyed it a lot more. Oh, it's not a lot. What do we get? Like a kiss and two bang scenes, I think, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, when I reread, that's the first time they actually do a scene. It's actually way more enjoyable than I... At the time, I think, you know, because I was, like, expecting so much.
Yeah.
I was like, But having reread it, actually, I was like, that's pretty hot. And I forgot that, like, she sets fire to the curtains. Like, that was very
like
fun.
Like, a full, like, thunderstorm going on outside. Like, they're never going to be able to hide.
And I think it's also a point, is, like, he's really reluctant.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he doesn't want to do it with her and he's not attracted to her, but he's really reluctant because I think... realistically he knows that if he gets involved with her he's falling hard and deep and deep he does fall inside her so I think that's another kind of like and that's also another thing I really like about Violet as a character is she's very open and she's not like she doesn't play it cool like I think you're hot as fuck and I want to bang you and I actually think that's really funny and I really like that about her. I actually really like that and I think particularly in that first like not just because it's the first sex scene but I really love that she because he really doesn't want to stay the night and she's like I really like how that's exactly how anybody would be if you were having sex with Zayden Ryerson for the first time you'd be like don't leave me I think you're hot as fuck
I'm gonna chain you to this bed literally
so I really like that and I think the other thing is it's like really heavily told that like the survival rate of being in the Riders Quadrant is very low. Don't form relationships because you're probably gonna die. That's again another one of his big like things is that he and at that point I think it's at that point where so the other thing that they get when they bond with their riders and they get this signet is they effectively get a tattoo which is called a not a relic but is it just called like this signet marking or something so she effectively gets a big fucking dragon on her back
two
dragons tattooed on her back
she gets Taryn and
Dana and Zayden has a very similar one for
Sagal.
And I think it's just after they do it for the first time he sits up with no top on and she realizes he has all these tiny little scars on his back and she says what are they and he goes oh it's 106 to be precise and it's revealed that they were given one scar effectively that he was the one that instigated the trade of if you let all of the children of the rebellion live I will be solely responsible for every single life and keeping them in line
and not letting them rebel
and if they do, you can kill me.
Yeah.
And then they have, like, he literally has, like, a physical scar of 106 scars on his back to remind him of that.
Yeah.
So that was a very interesting plot point to kind of find that out.
I enjoyed that.
Very honourable.
So we're, like, falling hard for Zayden at this point.
Hard.
We are, like... and I feel like we should have talked about it, but like the reason that they're all training is because there's these Gryphon attacks.
I say Gryphon,
Gryphon attacks.
Yeah.
And that there's like
a neighbouring continent called Polymiel, who are kind of seen as the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They have like the bad end of the country. They got the crap resources, the crap land, and they want in on Nevea because it's very abundant and fruitful. One of the other things as to why Nevea as a continent is so powerful is dragons as opposed to the griffins, which are like big eagles with claws. Griffins can have signet powers as well, which they're told that they're riders. But Griffins can't manifest a ward like a barrier, whereas dragons can. So all of Nevea is protected by a big old fucking barrier,
yeah,
basically. Mm-hmm. What we learn from, like, the classes that Violet attends while she's in the war college is that there's been instances of the wards failing.
Yes.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah.
So, like, her sister Mira, who's now a fully qualified dragon rider, part of the army, yeah, their whole thing is you qualify and you go fight for the country,
yeah,
and you're posted to one of the, like,
outposts
that are on the border,
yeah,
to protect the country and fight against the Griffins. Yeah. They're the baddies. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, like, the,
yeah,
you know, gist of it, I guess.
Yeah. I suppose fast forward to the end of the War Games when they are given their assignments.
And War Games is just, like, a big
battle.
A big fake battle, yeah, for them to, like, fight and get an egg.
No, sorry, not one. Like, I'm further on again now. That was the one with where she killed Jack Barlow.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the very end.
The last
war game.
Zayden gets very specific
instructions
to go to somewhere outside of the wards.
Yeah.
Which isn't common during war games. And he picks Violet to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Zayden says, "I'll miss you, Violet," as if, like, she isn't coming back.
Yeah.
Then, obviously, it's an ambush, basically.
Yeah.
Dane's dad is...
I think we didn't mention this in the beginning, but Dane's dad is also in the military, and that's how him and Violet are family friends.
Yeah. And his dad was overseeing the war games and gave out the assignments.
Yeah.
So sent Zayden to Athbine.
Athbine, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's an ambush.
Yeah.
But during this travel into Athbine, we realise that Zayden and the rebels are in cahoots with the Griffin Riders.
Yeah.
And that they're supplying them with weapons.
Yeah.
So she feels, like, completely betrayed. She can't believe it.
Yeah.
And my issue here is, obviously, they get to Athbine, she realises that the folklore that her dad used to tell her was real, and he was trying to tell her that it was real. There's these magical beings called Venon who can create wyvern, and they're really hard to kill.
Yeah.
So basically, Zayden says, like, "Will you fight with us?" And she's like, "Yeah." Mm-hmm. And I was a bit like, you've got no context here. Mm. You've got no background.
Mm.
You've just found out that, like, the people that are supposed to be your enemies, he's in bed with and, like, giving weapons to. And he just is like, "Are you going to fight?" And she's like, "Yeah."
Go on then.
I'm like, I was a bit disappointed there because I was like, there's no resistance from her. There's no, like, "I need more information on this." She's just like, "Yeah, okay."
And I think, like, in such a big book, she could have, like, built that up, like, give her a bit more, you know. Why wasn't there more conversations with her and Zayden as to why, like, because it's very clear that's, and I think going back to the thing about the scars on his back, is that he's trying for all of them to not be rebels.
So
why all of a sudden at the very end he's like, "Oh, actually, the whole time I've been a rebel too." Which is, I understand that he wouldn't, just because his parents were killed doesn't mean he's unsympathetic to the cause. But why wasn't it more sort of implied all the way through? And then why wasn't there more conversation between Violet and Zayden where you can see her mind bend in that way? Because I agree with you, just get to the end and you've gone through, like, hundreds and hundreds of pages and she's like, "Oh, go on in." She's the daughter of his biggest enemy.
Yeah.
Of course she's going to be so indoctrinated to believing that their side of the fight is the right side, you know? Like, of course she's going to think that. Why wouldn't she, you know? Like, Zayden's dad killed her brother. You know, there's bad on both sides here, isn't it? As cut and dry as I'm a rebel and I'm not, you know? So I agree with you. And that was one of my biggest... Like, I think for me in this whole book is there's a lot of good, but ultimately, you can tell, I think, this is where she isn't a fantasy writer.
Mm-hmm.
Because these big kind of, like... You've got to be beefy when you write fantasy. You've got to really, like... keep the lore going, like, keep the canon, like, really build it. And that's where I felt it got a little, like, ooh, you know?
Yeah, it was just like, you haven't asked him any questions.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't, like, at the big blazing row, you're just like, yeah.
Go on then.
I'll fight. Yeah. And I was just like, I was so like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know.
So then they get to Athbine and they realise...
the outpost has been deserted.
Yeah.
It's been cleared. There's nobody there.
And there's
a missive there for Zayden, and it basically says, either fly back to your squad and let this city burn, or defend the city and you're a traitor.
Yeah.
So they defend the city
against
the Venin and the Wyvern.
And am I right in saying, when you say this, the outpost is empty, mm-hmm. as in like the army outpost, but the city is very much...
The villagers, there, the families, there. Children.
And sorry, to kind of like go back, because I'm just trying to remember in my brain, war games, this obviously wasn't supposed to be the point.
No.
It was never supposed to be real life.
No,
it was
no.
always supposed to be pretend.
Fake battles, yeah.
Like fake battles, mm-hmm. like where you're going to go out to defend like a town, but it's not going to be real enemy. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be
and
like,
they're all inside the wards.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they actually get thrown in the deep end. And there's this enemy that she's been told up until now is just a fairy tale of a fucking Venin.
Yeah.
So there's only one of them, one Venin.
No, multiple.
At that point, there's only one.
Yes.
Like, in the beginning, they almost get fucked over.
Yeah.
And then we learn, like you said, it's an ambush and they get absolutely fucking wrecked, basically.
So during this Venin attack, Liam's dragon gets killed, which means Liam's dying, and Violet makes 10 fly her down to see him before he dies. And I wrote down one of the quotes, and she's holding Liam while he dies, and she says, "Thank you, Liam. Thank you for being my shadow. Thank you for being my friend."
Yeah, it's really
so
heartbreaking.
Sad.
Yeah,
so sad.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd get like that big of a death at the end of book one.
Yeah.
You know, it was real.
So they fight the Wyvern, and they realise that it's not the Wyvern they need to fight; it's the Venin, because the Wyvern are created.
Yeah.
So if you kill the Venin,
you kill the Wyvern,
will die too. And there's a sage there.
Yeah.
So a guy in like a cloak, but
which
he disappears.
Kinda, he's kind of like a Venin, but like a...
The master Venin.
The big bad
Venin, and he's got a staff, but he disappears.
Yeah.
So that... Obviously, I haven't read Iron Flame yet, so that's not explained to me yet. But just before they defeat them all, one of these Venin stabs Violet with a poison-tipped blade.
Yes.
And she's dying, basically. Yeah. So... Zayden says, "I know a healer," and everyone's like, no, you can't take her there there, and he's like, "Fuck you all, I'm doing what I want," and she's going to the healer. He takes her, she's healed, and then obviously the book finishes with her waking up, and it's her brother Brennan that has healed her.
Dun, dun, dun.
And is alive, and Zayden's known he's been alive and hasn't told her.
And you said this, but you didn't think it was that big of a plot twist. You could see it come in.
For me, it was talked about too much. His death was talked about too much. Like, the burning of all his stuff. Like, he just kept getting brought up. And I was thinking, like, why do they keep talking about this dead character? Like, for me, there was just something not right. Like, not that I knew he was alive, but there was just something...
Something you knew was gonna...
Like, not sitting right. And then, so when it was him, I was just like... Oh, okay.
Mm.
Like, yeah, makes sense. Like, I wasn't like, Brennan's alive. Like, I was just like, oh, okay.
But if you're me, who's enough of an idiot that couldn't even get the Riddle and Akatar, let alone this, I was that person. I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming. I agree that I think I probably thought something about Brennan was going to come up, but did I think he would not be dead? No, that was a big old plot twist.
But it also sort of takes away her reason for hating Zayden, because she hated Zayden because she thought his dad killed her brother, and then her brother's alive.
Yeah.
And I think the final line of the book is like, "Welcome to the revolution, Violet." So it's not, they don't call it a rebellion, they call it
a revolution.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
What's Brennan been doing for the last, like, what, 5 years?
Yeah,
or something?
It's like six years.
Yeah, that for me, like, again, having reread it, I actually really enjoyed that. And I think overall, having a reread actually brought it up in my estimations. Because after the first time, I was so grumpy. I was like, who the fuck was recommending this to me and telling me it was going to be Akatar? Which I know isn't a popular take, because majority of people just fucking love this.
Yeah.
I think, and I don't mean this to sound, like, pretentious when I say it, but I think as people who read a lot of fantasy... We can see the holes in this.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, if this was your introduction into fantasy romance, I can totally understand
why
people love it.
Star.
It is
a,
it's not a bad book by any means, but I think, you know, when we're talking the likes of, like, Throne of Glass, and when you've read those,
and like, people, from Blood and Ash, like,
Yeah.
There's more well-written books.
Agreed.
But I enjoyed the story.
It's very enjoyable. It's very readable. But I think when you're a fantasy lover, you like a bit more like nitty-gritty. And somebody, again, when I was like researching this and looking at what other people had said and looking at like blogs and stuff, somebody had written this, a really interesting take on it, is that it's a romance with a fantasy like blanket over it. And I would agree.
Yeah.
Like, when we're talking, like, I know we don't read Brandon Sanderson, who is like the king of fantasy. Mm. I don't think it's fair to put this in the same category as the likes of Brandon Sanderson, where you're like, you literally, even like the Throne of Glass, where you've got like you said, you know, we mentioned this in the previous episode, things that are mentioned in like book like prequels that are woven in 8 books down the line.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a bad book. I just think that, like you said, with House of Flame and Shadow, it falls mercy to everybody else's hype around it.
One thing I do really like from this book, I'm a sucker for a pet name.
So I'm not, see.
I love that he calls her Violence. I love it. I love that Ten calls her Silver One.
That I don't mind as much.
And he calls Aunt Anna Golden One.
I'm not anti it. Like, I mean, like, come on, like, Feyre, darling. Like, I fucking love it. But I think with certain books, it feels really like, force. Mm. And for me, Violence, like...
So one of my quotes that I wrote down is Zayden, and he says, "Fascinating, you look all frail and breakable, but you're really a violent little thing, aren't you?" And I'm just
I don't mind that, but the fact that he calls her violent when she isn't, she's actually quite a peacekeeper, to be honest.
But I've just got so many quotes from this, and one quote that I love is 10 roars with the unmistakable sound of pride. Lightning wielder.
Aww.
Like, he's so proud.
Yeah,
and like,
he loves her.
And I'm not even mad at the dragons when we find out that they knew all along that, like, that the Venom were real and that. Like, I wasn't even mad about it. No. I was just like...
Because
it's
really heavily implied that they're kind of this, like, ancient all-seeing. Mm-hmm. And it's always... And that's something that I would say she does do consistently. She builds that mystery of the dragons all the way through.
Yeah.
And we know from the get-go that they're very secretive.
Yeah.
They don't tell humans everything. The Empyrean, mm-hmm. which is, like, the... I don't know, how would you describe the Empyrean? It's like the Council of Dragons, effectively.
Yeah.
Like the dragon politicians,
yeah.
I don't know. It's really heavily... And like, you don't go into the Vale where the dragons are. It's very secretive. So actually, that as a plot point didn't fall...
They're the final, like, say.
They say
we listen to humans.
Yeah.
Like, love that.
If Violet wants 2 fucking dragons, she's having 2 dragons. Yeah, so that part of it didn't fall short for me because that was explained.
Yeah.
But like... Yeah, I think I do agree with you when going back to what you said about how like she just changes her mind there and then.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just be a rebel now.
Yeah. I was just like, cool, okay.
Okay.
Another quote that I really liked. So this is when like she keep when they after they've bonded and they're flying back to the flight field and she keeps asking him, like, why have you chosen me? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't get
it.
And he says to her, "You are the smartest of your year, the most cunning." I gulp at the compliment, brushing it off. "I was trained as a scribe, not a rider. You defended the smallest with ferocity, and strength of courage is more important than physical strength, since you apparently need to know before we land."
Yeah.
And I just love that he just sees her for what she is.
Yeah.
And he's still like, "I'm the biggest, baddest fucking dragon, and I'm picking this small little girl. I don't care."
I love, and it's such a like, fuck you to her mum as well,
yeah.
you know? Like, that she goes in, and not only does she get the biggest, baddest dragon, she gets 2 fucking dragons.
Yeah. And then, obviously, I've started Iron Flame, so I'm like, 4 chapters in?
Oh,
are you?
Oh, yeah. I didn't realise.
Yeah,
okay,
so like,
yeah.
4 chapters in, but obviously, Andana's asleep,
mm-hmm.
and she's fucking massive
yeah.
and black. And I was just like, oh my god!
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
She's grown up. She was forced to grow up,
yeah.
basically, because she used her power. But I was
yeah.
just like, fucking hell. So
yeah.
she's got 2 massive fucking dragons now.
That battle with like the Venom, effectively,
yeah.
she uses so much power that it causes her to mature,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah, basically.
They call it like the something sleep, don't they? Like
The
like
dreamless
sleep.
Yeah.
So she's maturing and becoming a big old dragon.
Yeah.
yeah.
So she's massive.
Yeah. So like, I think overall, star-wise, what would you give this?
I gave it a 4-star
uh-huh.
review. It wasn't good enough to be a 5-star review. It,
no.
There were too many holes. There were too many things that I was questioning.
Yeah.
And there were too many things that I predicted. And, like, that's sort of my fault, because I read books trying to guess the ending. Mm-hmm. Like, I do go through trying to make my own theories. But, like, I just... Like, I think a lot of people were like, oh my god, Brennan's alive. But I was just a bit like, fine. Mm. So, yeah, it was a 4-star for me.
For me, so if I'd have done this pre-reread, if I'd have just come into this and not done the reread, it probably would have been like 3, 2.5. I was so angry at the... I just was like really let down by it. But actually now having reread it, it's redeemed itself a bit. So it's 3.5 for me.
Okay.
I know I feel like I always write books like 3.5. I'm such a 3.5-er. Like everyone was like 3.5, 3.5. But yeah, like, wasn't terrible by no means. An enjoyable, fun read. But whoever the person's blog I read earlier that said this... that it's really a romance with a fantasy blanket. I just think it falls mercy to everybody making out that, like, Rebecca Yarros is the next Brendan Sanderson. And, like, no, absolutely not.
The one thing I will say is when he finally admits that he loves her, I love how much he loves her.
Does he say he loves her in this book? I couldn't remember. Because I know, so the second banging, it was something we didn't mention, the second time they shag is, like, they're having a party for, like, celebrating the end of, like, term, effectively, or, like, war games.
No, they're having a party to celebrate the end of the rebellion, and he doesn't go.
Ah, yeah, and he sat out on the... while he's on the parapet.
Yeah, and then she walks out to him, and, like, she basically says, like, you're either all in or you're all out. And he says, I'm all in.
Yeah.
But,
and they bang, basically.
Yeah, but one of the quotes I wrote down is him saying to Violet, I would rather lose this entire war than live without you. And if that means I have to prove myself over and over, then I'll do it. You gave me your heart and I'm keeping it.
Aww.
And I'm like,
I didn't realise they fell that hard. I didn't realise he said that in the first book, but yeah.
And just one quote from Violet. And when others are quick to stand in front of me, Zayden always stands at my side, trusting me to hold my own.
And that's a really big thing about the whole, like, Danan, Zayden, like, blah, blah, blah. Because Dane is, his whole thing is that all he's doing is just, like, she's too weak to protect her. Whereas Zayden's like, no, you can fucking hold your own. Like, I'll be here to help you.
Yeah. And, like, he knows, like, she's got, a big fucking bad dragon behind her. So, she'll be fine. Yeah, she's okay.
Yeah. Would we recommend this to other people who are looking to get into the fantasy romance genre? Yes.
Absolutely.
Obviously, it was on my list that I made you that you should read at some point. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't one of the ones that I was like, you need to read this now. Mm-hmm. We're going to do Iron Flame, maybe not necessarily the next episode, but like we will do Iron Flame.
Once I've read it.
Once you read it. What are your right now predictions for Iron Flame?
Oh, that's a really good question. So I kind of want General Sorengale not to know about the Vernon and the Wyvern. I don't think that's going to happen. I do think she's the big bad bitch.
I think she knows everything that's going on.
I do think she's master manipulator. Yeah. But, like, I kind of want her not to know and to, like, fight alongside her children and be reunited with Brennan.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I think she knows and she's just trying to protect Nevaeh and she doesn't fucking give a shit about anybody else.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know what my predictions are. Yeah. I think, I don't know, because obviously I'm like 4 chapters in, like, and I know that they're going to go back to Baz Gaeth. I know that they're not going to stay with the Rebellion, that they're going to go back to school, basically. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I don't know.
No other predictions?
No, I do not know where this is going to go.
Okay. No predictions of, like, what you think is going to happen with Brett? Like, you don't know where... No.
No. Oh, God. I feel on the spot.
No, you're normally really good. I just feel like you're always really good at, like, you pick up on things really well, whereas I'm just like, you know the sound that's like, got me spinning like a bell. That's me. Like, in my head, there's nothing. I'm just like, moving along.
I wrote down a quote because it just made me laugh, and I thought, like, this is where we can all, like, relate. Well, me and you can relate to Violet. It says, my breath catches and my body warms, the traitorous bitch. You are not attracted to toxic men, I remind myself. And yet here I am, getting all attracted.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Yes, we are. And I'm like, Violet. Me.
I feel seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just made me laugh. That, like,
That is something I really like about the book. A lot of people don't like it, but I really like the way it's written. I like that it's, like, inside Violet's head, and you get, like, a lot of her kind of, like, funny internal monologues are always in italics, you know?
Yeah.
She, like, italicizes her, like, little quips, and I really like that.
Yeah. And I quite like the mind speaking and all of that. And a funny part that happens is, once she realizes she's a lightning wielder, one of the professors, like, takes her off to a mountain range.
Yeah.
To try and practice.
Yeah.
And Zayden's like, where are you? And she's like, well, I'm practicing with Professor Carr. And she's like, but I can't bring it to the surface.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'll remind you of last night. And he starts sending her images of them, but from his point of view. So she's seeing herself get banged by him. And then she's just like fucking flinging lightning out left and right.
Yeah.
And it just made me laugh so much. However, in the same breath as that made me laugh, and I loved it, I did sort of think, has Rebecca read Akata and is thinking, oh, Reese does that to me. Do you know, is she borrowing storylines?
So, like, 100%. Yeah, what I will say is, like, this is not original in any means. Like, I think Rebecca Yarros has gone, I write romances about army because I've lived that life.
Yeah.
Let me check an old fantasy, what do people love? Dragon, like, college, you know, school, magic school, a hot shadow daddy. Yes, like, so there's nothing about this is original, like, there isn't. And not to say that, like, Sarah J Maas is the most original person,
but
she kind of, like, everything is always going to be a rehash of something else.
There's only so much that we can pull from, like,
and, like, Sarah J Maas openly says that she's really heavily influenced by the like 60s fantasy romance or fantasy series called Predine, which the Disney film The Black Cauldron is the second book in that series, which is on my TBR. I really want to read it because apparently it's phenomenal, which is all the Mabinogi from Wales, because the author, who's American, was actually based, this is really boring history, but was actually based in Wales during the Second World War. Learn about the Mabinogi, was like, this is cool as fuck, I'm going to write a fantasy series about it. Wrote Predine. Sarah J Maas is obviously influenced by that. So a lot of it is, you know, very heavily influenced. So I get that, like, nobody's got an original idea. I get that. I'm not saying that. But there was just something about this that it felt like, you know, like a paper collage of all the best books. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, and you can sort of, like, pick where it's come from almost. Yeah. Like, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed reading. I'm glad I read it. I'm going to read Iron Flame.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we'll see how it goes.
I'm not going to reread Iron Flame with you because I literally haven't long read it. Yeah. So I feel like it's quite fresh in my brain. But we will do Iron Flame. It might not be the next episode, but give me some time.
Yeah, it's a big old book.
You did this pretty well, though.
It's because I mixed reading and physical, because, like, I'd have the audio on when I was in work, when I was, like, walking, like, because obviously you can't always be reading a book.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't like to say, I like reading in the bath. I like taking my Kindle in the bath, but I won't take a paperback.
A big old hardback,
in the bath. Yeah. So I was audiobooking it in the bath then. So I did get a lot done through audiobooks.
Yeah.
I will say, listening to banging scenes via audiobook is, like, weird for me.
Did it not do it for you?
It was just odd. It felt, like, really sexual. And I, like, sat at my work computer.
Yeah.
And I was just I was just a bit like, oh, do you know what? I think I'll read this one. Like,
some people say that about the graphic audio Akatars. Yeah. Some people love them, but then some people say they're too, like, they're too cringy. You can't listen to it.
Yeah.
Something, sorry, this is really off topic. Can we just talk about really quickly that we haven't talked about? I was going to mention this to you in the last episode, like, as in, like, two episodes ago. I completely forgot. Have you seen on TikTok the photos that have been leaked of Sarah J Maas meeting Margot Robbie for coffee in New York?
Yes!
How did we not talk about this?
How are they... Like, where has that come from?
Like, is Margot Robbie going to produce Akatar series? Why are they, like, having that conversation?
Don't tease us, Sarah. Like, if you're going to be photographed with these stars, like, you need to tell us why.
Because also,
are you friends?
I don't mean this in, like, a shitty way, but, like, how are they friends? Yeah. Surely it's a business proposition, because, like, as much as Sarah J Maas is a very popular author, surely she's not rubbing shoulders the likes of Margot Robbie, you know?
Or is she?
Yeah. I mean, she was on Kelly Clarkson the other day, so, like, who knows? But if it is what I think it is, yikes.
Eek!
So maybe the Akatar live action isn't in the can. Maybe it's still happening. Yeah. Who knows?
And I'd be here for it.
Yeah. I would be too. So are we done with this episode?
Yes, that was our first book review.
It was our first book review, and that was Fourth Wing.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. So
Iron Wing coming soon. Iron Wing? Iron Flame, fucking hell. Coming soon. It just might not be next week. But we'll see.
Yeah, never know.
We'll never know. Thanks so much for listening.
Join us next week for a new episode.
And follow us on TikTok and Instagram at A Pod of Smut and Wingspan. What?